When it comes to sugar and your health, there are two things you need to know. It's bad for you and it's everywhere. You probably knew that already. But the biggest problem is that you probably don't know how much sugar you're actually consuming. In particular, that added sugar. All the high fructose corn syrup, sucrose, fructose, brown sugar, juice concentrate, honey and molasses that are in so much of the food we buy and eat. The World Health Organization recommends that women consume no more than 6 teaspoons and men no more than 9 teaspoons of added sugar per day. But here in the U.S., we're consuming an average of 22 teaspoons of added sugar, and our health is suffering because of it. Carrie Goldberg, she's co-host of WBUR's Common Health Blog, joins us now to talk about the sugar challenge. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Anthony.
Thanks for coming in.
Sure.
So how has sugar intake changed in the last few decades, and where is sugar lurking where we least suspect?
Well, sugar intake has been going up and up and up, as you might guess, over the last few decades. In fact, a number came out just recently, earlier this month, at a big obesity conference here in Boston called Obesity Week. And a study found that our added sugar consumption has increased by 30% over the last couple, 3 decades. So, and you might notice that that seems to sort of correlate with the obesity epidemic. So there may be something going on there. And the sugar is kind of hiding everywhere, I would say. It can hide in all kinds of things you might not even think would have much, and, you know, in cereal and in breads. And then, of course, the main places we find it is in sweetened drinks and desserts.
Mm. So what are some of the negative effects of sugar? You mentioned it likely contributes in a big way to the obesity epidemic. What else?
Yes. Well, so there are kind of two camps on that, Anthony. There's the sort of more moderate and very mainstream camp, which says that at the very least, added sugar is empty calories, and that can't be good. It's basically sugar that's not accompanied by healthful nutrients, and we're all getting too much of it, and so that is related to the obesity epidemic. And then there's a growing camp that I would call the sugar is poison camp, which basically looks at growing research, actually, that links sugar to things like diabetes and cardiovascular disease, and sounds a much louder warning that we really need to cut back on sugar.
All right. Well, let's introduce Dr. Terry Schrader. She's an internist at Mount Auburn Hospital and an adjunct professor at Brown University Alpert Medical School. And she learned about these negative effects of sugar firsthand and wrote about it on WBUR's Common Health blog. And Terry Schrader, thanks for being here. Good to have you.
Thanks, Anthony.
So you're a doctor, as we mentioned, so you surely know about the health consequences of too much sugar, but you called yourself a sugar addict on this post. So I want to ask you what you noticed about what too much sugar was doing to you.
Well, first of all, Anthony, I think I'll call myself a recovering sugar addict. How's that? But, you know, it did take me by surprise. I mean, it took me a minute or more to make the link because I wasn't thinking my sugar consumption was up at all. But I did notice a few things. One, like many people, I had to have the plaque scraped vigorously off my teeth every 6 months. Mm. I didn't necessarily link that to sugar right away. But two, my triglycerides were up. And three, I did notice few hours after I eat, which is not uncommon, I was hungry, but I was not just hungry, I was a little shaky and hungry. And then just with the highs and lows of what sugar and too much sugar intake does to us, I think you can just kind of notice it in your own physiology.
Sure. You talked about a sort of energy slump in the afternoon, for example.
Exactly. If you drink a soda, or what I was drinking, which had 32 grams of sugar in it, you're going to get an immediate high. Your brain loves the glucose, and you're going to feel terrific. An hour or two later, you're going to feel a dip in your blood sugar. And that contributes to sort of how we feel sometimes a few hours after we eat.
So tell us what you did, because you actually made some pretty big changes in your diet and the way you sort of track the sugar, the added sugar that you take in, right?
Right. Well, I first noticed in this juice drink I was drinking. It was my little treat. And then I thought, well, I'm going to cut that out. But then I looked at the honey I was putting in my coffee. I was putting maple syrup in my oatmeal. The flavored yogurts have between 20 to 30 grams of sugar in them, added sugar. So I cut that out and went to plain yogurt, added some berries, and just looked at the things I was eating and drinking throughout the day and tried to add them up in terms of added sugar and try to stay below 6 teaspoons. Or about 24 grams a day.
So you made these changes. How are you feeling?
I actually feel good. It's been about 8 or 10 weeks. I'm not keeping exact track, but I really do feel better. And one of the first things I noticed, which may sound kind of silly, but your teeth are actually smoother. We have a bacteria in our mouth. We have lots of bacteria, but one of them, Streptococcus mutans, loves the sucrose, uses the sugar to help apply the plaque and make it sticky and help eat away our teeth. But I also just felt better, and the cravings for sugar go down pretty quickly. Hmm. You change your taste buds relatively quickly. When you eat an apple, it actually tastes sweet now if you lower those grams of sugar.
Now, Carrie, I want to ask you, because one of the sort of challenges here is to understand from labels how much added sugar we're actually taking in. So what's being done about that to make that simpler?
Right. So the FDA is, in fact, proposing these very helpful changes in the nutrition labels that are on all foods. And one of the things the proposed change would be to make the calories much more obvious. Like, they would just be in much bigger print how many calories they are, and then they would split out the added sugar so that the label will say not just how much sugars are in this certain food stuff, but also how much of that is added sugar. So that'll make it a lot easier for us to watch out for them.
And Terry, I want to just be really clear about something. When we talk about added sugar, I mean, we can be talking about things that even sound natural, like honey or maple syrup or molasses. These will do the same things as refined white sugar, right?
Right. Basically, sugar is sugar. And I think what the FDA is trying to do is make it easier for us to figure out if it's inherent or natural in the product, or if it has been processed and lots of sugars have been added. This way, we'll be able to know, did they add the sugar? And we're all trying to stay under, if we're women, 6 teaspoons or 24 grams a day. For men, we get a little bit more, 9 teaspoons or 32 grams.
So how is all this, or has all of this, changed the way you talk to your patients?
Well, I do always try to mention lifestyle changes to my patients, because we as physicians know that many things we see, and it doesn't matter what our specialty is, or if they're not brought about by lifestyle, they're at least made worse by it. All of this sugar, 4 times the amount we're supposed to be eating, is not good for us. We have to retrain our taste buds, and hopefully the FDA will help us figure that out.
I have one more question about this. You talk about how the craving for sugar sort of disappears when you give up sugar. So does sugar beget the craving for sugar?
Certainly there are physical as well as psychological reactions to sugar. And we know our neurotransmitters, our dopamine goes up when we have glucose. That's why we like it. But I think what happens is it's a short-term gain. Our brain lights up and it wants more a few hours later. If you change your taste buds, things taste too sweet.
Yeah.
If you try to drink a Coke and you haven't been eating a lot of sugar lately, it's not going to taste so good.
Right.
And Anthony, yeah, I would Karen. Just add, reading Terry's post really influenced me, actually. It made me much more aware of the sugar I was eating. And it also made me more aware that I was getting these cues really often, like these little prompts from my brain saying, like, give me sugar, give me sugar. And it has taken days for them to kind of abate. But it was quite eye-opening to realize that I was often getting a little give me sugar prompt.
Interesting. Yeah. That's Carrie Goldberg. She's co-host of WBUR's Common Health Blog. Thanks for joining us, as always, Carrie.
You're welcome.
And Dr. Terry Schrader, she's an internist at Mount Auburn Hospital and an adjunct assistant professor at Brown University Alpert Medical School. You can read her guest post to WBUR's Common Health Blog. There's a link to it at radioboston.org. Terry Schrader, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us. Digital fasting coming up next. A Bentley University professor encourages his students to take a digital fast. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.